What is it that makes us, that makes the world go round? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. What is it that makes the world go round? Well, that's a question we all would like to know the answer to. What is it that makes the world go round? Truly, what makes the world go round is whoever we think we are. If we think that we are beautiful people, the world goes around as a beautiful world. If we think that we are people filled with problems and troubles, if we think that we are filled with problems and troubles, then that's what makes the world go around for us. And if we think that lighting the fire in the fireplace is more important than listening to a lecture, then obviously we should go and light the fire in the fireplace, because you're not going to be listening to the lecture even if you're sitting there listening to it. You see, making the world go round, what makes your world go round, what makes you delight, is more important than anything else in the world. Now, we have rules on campus right now we have rules that we have no rules. But we have rules on campus that you use common sense and you do things in an orderly manner. And sometimes we don't get our own way, and then we get unhappy. We get upset. We get all bent out of shape. And we're no good for ourselves, and we're no good for anybody else, because we're just unhappy with everything. And when we're unhappy with everything, life's no fun. Life's just no fun. And so the thing is, say, c'est la vie, c'est la guerre. Yeah, so it is in war, you know. But c'est la vie, let go and let things happen. Now that brings to mind a very interesting idea. The term let go and let God is something that we have used a great deal in our spiritual, irrational thinking, because we don't have any idea what God is going to do. But let go and let God. Let God do what? You know, let God do what? Well, this is the confusion we've had all of our life. And then, all of a sudden we woke up and we found out, who's God? I'm God. Let go and let God. Let go and let me. Let go and let me. Oh, I let go and let my idea be expressed. What do I think? What do I want to do? How do I want to act? What's important to me? Let go and let God. Let go and let Herb. Let go and let Herb, Ellen. No. Not Ellen, let go and let Herb. Ellen, let go and let Ellen. Herb, let go and let Herb. Well, how does Herb let go and let Herb? Well, sometimes we call it meditation. Sometimes we call it introspection. Sometimes we call it intuitive listening. And Ellen is a good example. Today I took Rex for a walk, and we walked around the property 3 miles each time. We went two walks this morning, 6 miles. And on the second walk, right at the beginning of the walk, Rex found himself a rabbit. Now, I think the rabbit had already jumped over the fence and left his body behind. And so Rex picked him up. And Rex brought him over and showed it to me, far enough away so I wouldn't take it away from him. And then he said, isn't this nice? And he carried it the entire path. For 3 miles he carried that little rabbit carcass, and a gentle in his mouth. If it were a live bunny, it would still be alive at the end of the path, but it was a carcass. And so he would stop every once in a while and look back to make sure I was close behind. And then we got to the house here, and he didn't want me to take it from him, but he wanted to bring it in the house and show it to Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg. So he brought it in the house here. And Ellen says, oh, Herb, why did you let him bring it in here? And then meanwhile, she had her hand on his collar, and she said, drop it, and he dropped it there. And so then he walked away, and Ellen picked up the rabbit carcass and disposed of it. Now, why do you think I created Ellen doing that so handily, you know? I didn't have to do it myself then, you see. And I mean, Rex could have given it to me, you know, and I could have easily taken it away and put it, but I'm not going to take away his toys. I don't want him to hate me. So I just let Ellen and put it away. But now, see, that's thinking poorly. Rex does not dislike me. And Rex loves Ellen for her authority. He knows he can go to Ellen and have things handled properly. If he can't make up his mind, she'll help him. And that's a good thing. Dogs need to have that, and they need to know that. Now, when did Ellen come to the decision that she could do that without a second thought? Long time ago, when she dealt with her other dogs with bringing in rabbits and various things. And she became very accustomed to it. And she goes into our garage, and our cats in the garage come up with all sorts of rodents, and they drop it when they see her. And then she picks it up and puts it in the trash, and it's done with it. But, you see, thinking nothing about it. Now, Ellen could be squeamish about it and say, I don't want to touch these things, you know. But she didn't think a thing about it. She knows how to be a mother. She knows how to handle baby dew. And she'd never touched that. Now, many people haven't had that experience. and they haven't learned how to be untouched by it. But, you see, this is letting go and letting the divine in you take over. No judgment, no feeling that you're a bad dog for bringing this in here, or whatever. Just, hey, let me put that away for you, you know. And here's a cookie. That's much more interesting, you know. Much more nice. But, you see, the divine in her taught her what to do. The divine in her told her how to do these things and how to do them with joy and harmony and peace and love in her heart. And this is how all of us can learn. How do we want to learn? What do we want? We were given the movie Casanova, and in the movie Casanova, which we haven't seen yet, but seen just little glimpses of, Casanova is a most extraordinary man. Most extraordinary man. He is brilliant. He is good-looking. He is high on hormones. And he is a good talker. He's just good in virtually everything, you know. But his hormones have made him the great lover. But they have also made him perceptive to great love. Now, he never found a great love. He only found the sexual experiences. And then one day, not even in a love relationship, that is a sexual relationship, he found his love. And because this woman turned him on in a spiritual way and in a metaphysical way and in a mental, physical way and philosophically. Oh, they were riding together on a horse, on two horses, and she was philosophizing. She said, one of these days men will realize the value of women and realize that women can do the whatever. And really not saying good, bad, or indifferent, but just saying this is a truism that will come to its own. He had never thought of it from that point of view. He just thought of woman as being something to manipulate. And so he listened to this woman, and the woman didn't know she was talking to Casanova. She just thought she was talking to a very fine man and a good-looking man. And she was just rattling away about her opinions on philosophy. And then he thought to himself, wow. And then he responded to her with pure philosophy. And she says, you are a philosopher. And he says, yeah, I play with it, you know. You know, but it is so super. It is so super when we let go and let God, we let go and we let our divine self come through, we let go and we let our higher nature take place on any activity that we're working with. And this is an art. It can happen as with Don Juan or other people who are so hung up on relationships and on the need for friends and the need for people in the world, and all of a sudden something happens to them mentally, and they begin liking themselves, and they begin thinking, hey, I enjoy being with me, I enjoy my philosophy, I enjoy my attitudes, I enjoy what I have to say, I enjoy that. And when you do that, then all of a sudden it's like putting yourself into a whole different gear, like you're now into four-wheel drive or overdrive or whatever, and you are surrounded by other people as equally magnificent as you are, finding yourself and finding that yourself is a pretty good self to be. Now, to get to that point, you have to let go, you know, let go and let your divine self come through. Let go and let your intuitive self come through. Let go and stop saying, this is the way the world thinks I got to act. This is the way other people think I have to act. This is the way society says I have to act. Hey, do you know what society would say if it had Bill Gates' money? Keep it. Spend it for ourselves. You know that. Now, it takes a most amazing man and woman, like Bill Gates and his wife, and Warren Buffett and so on, to give their money away, just so categorically giving it away. And it brings back satisfaction of giving it, perhaps, but they're in a new activity that they have never been in before. They have, to a slight degree, but never really in such a massive degree. They're giving away national budgets, you might say, as they give away billions to these various organizations. And that's monumental. Now, do they think that they're so good that their stuff doesn't smell? No. No, they are doing this because it's fun. They're doing it because they're finding joy in it. You know, Bill Gates let his wife be head of the fund, the philanthropy activity. And his wife came home from work every day with a smile on her face and happiness in her heart. She says, oh, I just did this. Oh, it was so wonderful. I'm so happy that we're doing that. And Bill Gates came home from his office, and there's lawsuits and all that other sort of stuff that they're trying to press him down to keep him from doing things. And he'd risen to the top of his, you know, activity in Microsoft, and there's no higher he could go except just higher, whatever. But his wife comes home with a smile on his face. He comes home with all sorts of problems that he's working with, and he says, you know, sweetheart, I think I'll join you. I think I'll retire from my Microsoft work, which he did. Now, that too takes a genius, someone who can retire when they're doing so well, you know. And he certainly had to listen to the divine within him, to his divine self, to do that. And his wife listened to the divine within her, saying, you want me to give away money? Well, now how about that? And, you know, it's just not in the nature of things. And, you know, they're kids. They're young people who have been brought up in the difficult age of the 50s and 60s, you know, and maybe even 70s, and things like that were so tough, but they've turned out quite well. And you and I can turn out quite well, too. And we can live not by our hormones or by society's expectation of us, but by our own inner indwelling divine expectations for us, which are far greater than society could ever ask of us, far more noble than the divine Bibles of the universe could ever ask of us, you know. And that is who we really are. And when we let go and let God, when we let go and let our divine self come forth, when we let go and be ourselves and have fun, like Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, super. How wonderful. Be yourself and have fun. And why not? We don't have to be on their level, but yet we are. Because as even some little thing that you do that makes you happy is no more than whatever they do that makes them happy. So when you be yourself and you're having fun, then all the world is a joy to be in. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful time, a wonderful life, and remember, I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
Love you.